Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people, and I believe it. And you can praise God in so many different ways. You can praise God through simple hymns and choruses that we sing. You can praise God by simply placing a smile upon your face when, according to the world, it should not be there. You can praise God by sharing not only what He is doing in your life, but what He is preparing to do in your life. You can praise God by just sharing the things that He has seen you through. I was so moved by Nancy's testimony this morning as we sat at the Thanksgiving table there, and I blessed the food. And after that, and I said, you know, as we're eating this food, we ought to just simply share some stories about Brother Paul will bring a smile and laughter, because my brother was all about laughter. He was all about fun. Every time you talked to him, he was always laughing to the point of annoyance to me, but he always did it. He always did it. And that's the thing that I remember most. So we just did that. Just kind of Nancy, as you talked about, we just sat there and shared and told things, and it was just marvelous how God, I believe that God, without a shadow of a doubt, can also be glorified and lifted up in your laughter. Amen? I said that so that I can get rid of this and get out of the way. Charles Simmons, with his usual, but I tell you this. If Mike had known I was going to share this, that's probably why he stayed away today, Charles, just to let you know why. Knowledge doesn't speak loudly. There was a young lady who had to do a lot of flying for her business. It made her very, very nervous, so she always took her Bible along, reading it to help her relax on the long flights. One time, she was sitting next to a businessman. When he saw her pull out the Bible, he gave a little chuckle and smirk and went back to what he was doing. After a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all that Bible stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Of course I do. It's the Bible." He said, "Well, what about that guy who was swallowed by that whale?" She replied, "Oh, that was Jonah. Yes, I believe that it is in the Bible." He asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside of a whale?" The lady said, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." "What if he isn't in heaven?" he said. Then she said, "Then you can ask him." Some things you just got to get through. That's all. This Thanksgiving was so special personally to me because, as you know, and the things that I've shared about, it was a time that during the year I would spend more time with my brother than the others, always that week, a couple weeks around Thanksgiving, the hunting season, all things that meant so much to me, and all the things I could remember back. Everywhere I went, every turn I made, you know, I could just sing, and God would bring back such wonderful, rich memories. And it is also a wonderful time to me to just slow down, to just allow your mind to rest. The body needs rest, as we all know. But just as important, I believe your mind needs rest. And sometimes your spirit, through that rest, is renewed. And I decided, and as I, up on the mountain there, I have a small Bible that fits in my vest pocket or in the hunting jacket. And it has the New Testament and also has Psalms and Proverbs. And I thought, what better to set your time and mind towards celebration of God as to look at those Psalms. And I opened up to Psalm number 1. And I read in Psalm number 1 the first 3 verses. That's as far as I got. Now, Mady would say that's about like a Wednesday night for you, Charlie. You're planning on doing this, and you got through 3 verses. But I would like to share those with you this morning. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The third verse reads, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts for that thing you have for us. Give us the truth that only you give. We ask this in Jesus' name, all God's people. Amen. 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 This is a very unique set of scriptures. You will notice what it says, and you will also notice what it does not say. It starts out by telling you, blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Doesn't say anything about not making mistakes. It basically, this set of scriptures, these verses are talking about, where do you get your counsel? Who do you listen to? Where do you go when your spirit, your heart of heart, when it needs refilling, where do you turn? There is so much information out there, folks. There is every avenue to turn to. There is everything under the sun. But trust me, there is one thing that will simply change you from the inside out, and that is God's Word. When you take it, when you place it within your heart, it says in the second, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In his law, in his word, is where you find the direction, the counsel that your heart needs. And then we see in the third verse, we see the results. And I'm going to talk about this third verse for just a few minutes this morning, because I just kept going over this and over and over and over and over. He shall be like a tree. If you grew up in the household that I grew up in, having the wonderful opportunity that I did at age 10 to be out in the woods, because it was a family event. My father had us boys out there when we were just young, just able to pick up the arm that he would give us there to, into the woods. And oh, how we felt. And you learn real quickly that if you're going to learn your way around the woods, you are going to have to follow my father's direction. And maybe none of you have been out in the woods, but you'll notice there are very few street signs. I don't know how your GPS would work up there or not. I don't know. I've never tried it. But my father had a very unique way of sending you on your path. Go down here in the hollow when you get up top there. You'll see that big white oak on the top there. When you get to that white oak, look up the mountain over there and come down and all like that. We learned at a very young age what a white oak was, what a black oak, what a chestnut oak was. We learned the difference in what locust trees were real good for there. And we just learned pretty much every tree in the woods, because that's how we were directed. And I thank God for the things that I learned at such a young age, because those trees are sturdy and they stand and they are easily recognizable. I believe that the man who allows God's word to be placed within his heart, he will be fortified just as the trees that I have seen on those mountains. In the next verse, planted by the rivers of water. I made it a point to go this past weekend for the couple days that I hunted to the spots where my brother would sit. And one of the places that he would sit was right above what we would call Big Spring Hollow. We have different names for different things in the woods, and you kind of, after a while, you know the woods, that Spike Ridge over next to Big Spring Hollow, and you go up by the White Oak, you take the long, all these things, if you're there, you'd just be walking around in circles, you'd have no idea. But the place that he would sit at was called Big Spring Hollow because, this will take you, you'll be amazed when you figure this out, that it has a spring in it. Wow. Wow. And I can remember so many times coming down off that mountain as we go on to the top. And I can remember my father standing there, and he'd, on one of the branches on one of the trees there, right by the little spring over there, he had a little aluminum cup. And he would take that cup, dip down into that fresh water over there, and take a little sip. He would always make a noise. I love people when they eat. I love people when they really enjoy something that they make a noise. Don't you like folks when they come to your table, ladies, and it's real good and you've done a wonderful job? I'll guarantee you that if Buddy and I was sitting at his table on Thanksgiving, probably no conversation would take place, but I know the mmms and would probably take place, and I know exactly what he would be thinking. Is that right? That's probably the only words he says that are discernible. My father would take that cup. Oh, he'd take that, boys. That's good. That's good. Hand you that cup. There is nothing that can bring your spirit more nourishment and more refreshing than the rivers of water that God gives. When we go to the mountains, we always have our provisions. I know that hunters of a later generation have gotten all things down. They've gotten these suits that are, they're camouflage, and they've got scent lock, right? They got all these things. They got every little thing that you can imagine. Every toy that any boy can buy. Talking about us men, toys for the boys. But then in my father's generation, he would many times go out in his bib overalls. He said, I am not going out there to court the deer. I'm going out there to kill the deer. And you learned about it real quickly. And you always had provisions. You'd have a few pieces of candy when your mouth got a little too dry. And we would always have apples. They would come from a place that's across the mountain over there called Piney River. And if Rick's not smiling down there, Terry, you tell him if he's smiling or not over there. And from those of you that have had that opportunity, if Don was here today, I'd tell you how thrilling it is to have those apples when they come into season. And most of you have partaken of those apples. The apples that they got and would always have, you would have stamens, good apples like that. You'd have those wine saps. You left them over in the fridge because they would keep for months at a time if you kept them in the refrigerator there. And certain apples are great for making pies. And then I always like those Golden Delicious. I love the taste of them like that, but they wouldn't last that long. But the main thing about those apples is picking them at the right time. Picking them at the right time. That brings forth its fruit in its season. I love an apple that's just right. Now, some of you, if you've ever been out to these places where you pick apples, a lot of times they've wised up. They will actually send you a card in the mail to tell you when the apples are ready to pick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go? If not, you ought to look into it. It'll bless your soul. And it'll help the American economy. But my mother, she even gets a phone call from the orchard. I tell you, some people rape. She gets a phone call and they have actually set her apples aside. They're just right. There is nothing like having fruit in its season. I love all the fruits of the garden. I especially love tomatoes. And if you've ever looked at anyone who is a tomato snob, you are looking at him. Because I refuse to go to the store in the off season and buy that thing they call a tomato. Now you may say that's pretty foolish, but it's just the way that I am. Because I was so blessed to have those tomatoes when they're just perfectly ripe and sliced and oh, you know what it is to have whatever fruit that is in its season. Now, there are times in your life when you need, when you need God's fruit in its season. Because God knows your every need, your every care. Just as today I heard a testimony that thrilled my heart. You will have things in your life and questions that only God can answer, and he will bring that answer, whether he uses an individual, a brother, sister in Christ, he will bring that at that perfect time so you'll receive that fruit in its perfect season. Whose leaf also shall not wither. I love the fall of the year. You know those leaves out there when they start to turn a little bit on the edges over there and they just, all the green starts to go, those wonderful colors, and as soon as those colors start to go, those edges, they just start to curl a little bit. I feel that I am starting to get into the autumn of my years. When I get up on a rainy morning, I have joints that I never knew I had before. I was talking to someone that has a birthday, you know, we're about the same age, and I said, bless you, I said, how do you feel? And I loved the answer. That person said, I feel like a teenager who has been in a car wreck. I like that answer. I feel like a teenager who's been in a car wreck. The things just don't work as well as they used to. I should hear amen out there from you. But it says in God's word here, whose leaf also shall not wither. I serve a God who makes me fresh. Because he has fresh tasks for me to do. Nancy Becker found that out. She didn't drive all the way from Michigan to get here to put up reeds, but God says, that's what you're going to do. And that's how the leaf of your life does not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. I read this and I wanted to share it with you. There was a successful businessman who was looking for some answers in his life, and he decided to spend some time reading the Bible. After he'd read the scriptures through from cover to cover, he turned and he wrote these words that I'm going to read to you. He said, it was the most exhilarating experience of my life. From beginning to end, there is one theme, and I felt it carried me along like I was riding a wave. It is the goodness of God that the scripture writers are telling us about from cover to cover. It is the reality of who God is and how he acts and what he is doing in his goodness. This is the theme all the way through, and it has changed my life completely. That's what God's word will do for you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house. God, we have sung praises unto your name. We have shared praises about the things that you've done for us in our lives. And God, we have shared with you the needs that we have from our heart of hearts. God, we just ask now that you will challenge each one of us to be more in your word, to be more in tune to your Holy Spirit as you set for us just things that we can do to bless others. God, keep us aware. Keep us thankful for the season, God, and keep us ever so thoughtful of those individuals who are struggling at this time. God, we've been in your house and we felt your spirit. Give us safe traveling mercies as we go our ways, and be your will, bring us back again to sing praises unto you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus.